And we're going to turn to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And if you can remember back in the springtime, I suppose really when the lockdown started, that time back at the end of March, we did at that point commence a study of 1 Peter. I think all those messages were going out at that time in the format of online ministry here week by week. And in doing so, we looked at some of the great truths and the great highlights of 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. Over the summer, we've taken a break from our studies in this book, but today I want to return to our study of this epistle. And in doing so, I want us to look at these opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 3, which really the focus here is upon the subject of marriage. Can I say today that marriage of one man to one woman is a divine institution of God from the very beginning of time. My God has ordained and instituted his plan of marriage for the good of society, through a loving family relationship. He has also instituted marriage for the procreation of children within the family unit. Also, God has ordained marriage for the strengthening of his church and the advancing of his cause and the cause of the gospel here on earth. Now, the first marriage on earth is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 18 to 25. God himself conducted that marriage, and it was between our first parents, Adam and Eve. And in verses 18 and 24 of that chapter, you read these words, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." There you have the first marriage recorded in time in the Bible. It goes without saying today that God's institution of marriage of one man to one woman is under attack today as never before. The devil himself is the architect behind this attack. Why do I say it? Because the devil is one who is opposed to everything that is of God. And marriage is of God, so the devil himself is opposed to marriage. And the devil himself in our day and generation is using every means under the sun to attack God's institution of marriage of one man to one woman. And in light of the devil's attack upon God's institution of marriage, it is therefore important that the believer, the child of God, knows what God's word has to say about God's plan for marriage. And in our Bible reading here today, here you have God's instruction for wives and also for husbands who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might ask the question right at the very beginning of this message today, what is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is someone who is saved by God's grace. That they are someone who are born again of God the Holy Spirit, someone whose sins are forgiven by God, someone who is saved from hell and on their way to heaven, someone who is seeking by God's grace to live out the Word of God in their life day by day. It goes without saying, and the Bible backs this up, that the marks of such is that they have repented of their sins, turned from their sins, and turn to Christ and are trusting in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His sacrifice alone for their salvation. You think of the words of John 1, verse number 12, summing up, describing there the person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is that person who is resting absolutely and entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Dear friend, how is it with you in our service this morning?
Let me ask you the question, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as you sit in this gathering? I'm not asking you today, are you a Free Presbyterian? The all-important question is this, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Are you resting and trusting in Him alone for your salvation? Why, if you are to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by God's grace and have your sins forgiven, be sure of heaven, and have grace to live the Christian life, then now in time, as a repentant sinner, you must turn from your sin by faith, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and rest upon Him alone, trust in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. Trust in the blood that He shed upon the cross alone for the cleansing away of your sin and the salvation of your eternal, never-dying soul. You see, the Bible speaks of Christ and says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. It doesn't matter who you are today, what your sin is or what your sin has been. The offer of the gospel is this, the promise of the gospel is this, that if you come as a repentant sinner to Christ, He'll save you. And He will save you for time and for all of eternity. Yes, the mark of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in our Bible reading, Peter is speaking specifically to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believing wife and the believing husband. In the passage of Scripture before us, Peter writing here under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, he outlines certain ingredients for a biblical marriage, for a balanced marriage, and also for a blessed marriage. And today I just want us to look at two of these ingredients in particular. Notice first of all here with me that a blessed marriage is one that follows the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 1 and verse 7 of the chapter, you'll notice there that the word likewise is used, and that's very important. It's used there for both the Christian wife and the Christian husband. It says in verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice the double mention there of the word likewise. It's a word that we might maybe tend to pass over quickly, but it's very important here in the passage. For the word likewise there really means to be like someone else. And in the context of what has already been said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, we see here how the believing husband and the believing wife are being instructed to follow the very example of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. If you go back to chapter 2 and verse number 24, you'll see there how Peter speaks of Christ's redemptive sacrifice for His people. It says in verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. And by in the fulfillment of that great plan of redemption for His people, the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to His heavenly Father. He was submissive to the will of His heavenly Father and all of that great scheme of redemption. You think about that and notice then what Peter says to God's people in verse 21 there of 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, that's the believer, an example that ye should follow His steps. Christ fulfilled the great plan of redemption meekly, submissively, and obedience to the Father's will. And likewise, brethren and sisters in Christ in our meeting this morning, the lesson here for us is that if our marriages are to be blessed of God, then we must follow the example of Christ and be obedient and submissive to God's will for our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. You remember what Christ says to you and I in the Gospel of Matthew? He says, follow me. He says, learn of me. And the Lord Jesus is to be our pattern in life. He was meek and lowly of heart, the Bible says. What does that mean for us in the institution of marriage as husbands and wives? We are to have a meek and a submissive spirit always, seeking to serve one another in our homes with love. It says in the book of Galatians, it says, by love serve one another. How important that is to the husband and the wife and the institution of marriage. Indeed, within the institution of marriage as believing husbands and wives, we must ever be looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He must ever be our example, even in the institution of marriage in the home. It's interesting to note that in this passage here before us that deals with marriage, you'll see how Peter makes mention by way of example of Abraham and Sarah down in verse 6 of the chapter. He says, "Or even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." He mentions Abraham and Sarah specifically. And who were they? They were a husband and wife of faith. You can read about them in Hebrews chapter number 11, the great chapter on faith. And verse 8 there of that chapter speaks of the obedience of Abraham's faith. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went, he obeyed in faith the Lord." Again, you read about Sarah in that same chapter. In verse number 11, it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." And there again you see that Sarah was a woman of faith. Both Abraham and Sarah, they knew the Lord. Oh, they were not perfect. They were not sinless. But they knew the Lord. And they trusted the Lord as Savior. And they followed him in their life. They sought to obey the Lord. And you can't help but noticing the Old Testament record, how God blessed them and God used them as husband and wife, for his honor and for his glory. And child of God, I say to you this morning, follow their example. Yes, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of walking with God for the believer. It's a life of you and I yielding to the Lord. It's a life of you and I obeying the Lord. Indeed, this was the very example of Christ himself. And this is one of the ingredients for you and I to know God's blessing upon us within the institution and the ordinance of the marriage relationship of husband and wife. How important it is, if we're to know God's blessing in our married life, that we obey the Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we trust the Lord and are yielded to the Lord and to the Lord's will for our lives as husbands and wives day by day. Believer, you think about that, and think also of what is said to you and I as Christians. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "There be not conformed to this world." And in the matter of marriage especially, you and I, we're not to conform to the ways of the world, the thinking of the world, or the standards of the world, no. But rather, we are to conform to the standards of God and His Word. And I believe such conformity is vital for a happy and a blessed marriage. Yes, we see that the first ingredient is for husbands and wives to follow the example of Christ and being yielded to God and following the Lord and trusting the Lord. But notice something else here. We can say in the second place that a blessed marriage is one whereby the wife is submissive to her own husband. You notice there the double mention of the word subjection in verse 1 and verse 5 of the chapter. Verse 1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Verse 5 says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy woman also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Here we see, dear people, how the modern-day feminist movement is something that is contrary to the Word of God. The modern-day feminist movement is all about wives living their own life and doing their own thing and doing as they please. But that is not God's way. That is not God's plan for the godly wife, the believing wife. Yes, with the exception of that which is sinful and unwise, the Christian wife is to be submissive, it says here, to her own husband, that one to whom she is united to in marriage. This matter here of the wife's submission, it does not mean in any way that the wife is inferior to her husband in God's sight. It does not mean that for one moment. For both husband and wife are made in the image of God. And when both are saved, both are united in Christ, through Christ their Redeemer, the Bible says, "For you're all one in Christ." However, in His great wisdom, and we cannot question the wisdom of God, in His great wisdom, God knows what is best for a happy and a blessed marriage. And because of that, the wife is to be submissive, it says here, to her own husband. That word subjection there, as you find it in verses 1 and 5 of the chapter, it really means to place under. And really highlights the fact that God has a place, an appointed place for everyone in society. And so it is in the confines of marriage and the home. Indeed, in the matter of marriage and the home, God has ordained that the husband is to be the head of the home. Think of what is said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Therefore, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And just as the Christian husband is to give place to Christ as his head, so the Christian wife is to give place to her husband as being the head of the home. And in this matter, the Christian wife, she shows her support and her devotion to her husband. In this way, she complements her husband. Indeed, by this unity, their marriage bond is strengthened, because the Bible tells us that the two are better than one. In Psalm 34, in the verse number 3, the psalmist says there, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Well, it's by the believing wife supporting her husband as the head of the home. Now, that Christian wife then can exalt and magnify the Lord in her life. And the Christian wife, who is always seeking to do her own thing in the home and does not give due reward to her husband, that Christian wife will not be exalting or magnifying the Lord as she should. Also here in this matter of being submissive to her own husband, the wife is showing before the world her obedience to God's word, to God's truth. Think of what is said again in Ephesians 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Then it's important also to say here, in the case where the husband is unsaved, by following the example of Christ and being submissive, the believing wife can be the means of leading her husband to Christ for salvation and leading him in the ways of God. Look at how Peter brings that out here in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation." That's really the testimony of the life of the wives, "which they behold, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Can I say in this that the Christian wife is not to be continually nagging away at her unsaved husband? Yes, there may be times when God gives her opportunity to speak a word in season for the Lord. But what Peter here is saying and teaching us is that a constant, consistent, quiet, submissive, godly life can be a far more effective means in leading her loved one, her husband, to the Lord and to trust Him as Savior. You really hear Peter is talking about the importance of a life well lived for the Lord, even in the home. In this case, it applies to the wife. It's important here to say in this point, where the wife is saved and the husband is unsaved, that Peter is in no way promoting the unequal yoke. What is the unequal yoke? Well, the unequal yoke is whenever a saved person marries an unsaved person. And that is something that the Word of God strongly warns against. Turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at what you read there in particular in verse number 14. Here's a verse that especially applies to the matter of marriage. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what righteousness have what fellowship of righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Let me say a word just to the young people in our service this morning. Those of you who are saved and seeking a partner in life. Young people, learn from this. When you're saved, you're not to marry someone who is unsaved. That's really what God is saying here in His Word. He warns against us. Why? And there's a reason for that. For that unsaved person, if you join with them as a believer in marriage, their life will hinder your walk with God. They will bring you down spiritually in your Christian life and hold you back from going on with the Lord as you should. And their destination will be completely different from your eternal destination. They'll be on their journey to a lost eternity in hell while you're journeying to heaven. There's something that God's Word warns against. I remember many years ago, whenever I was doing outreach and convoy in Donegal, I remember speaking to an elderly lady on the doors, and she confessed that she was a believer, and we talked about many things. And in the course of her conversation, she told me of how she married a man who was unsaved. And that unequal yoke was something that greatly hindered her in her Christian life and going on with God and the service of God. And she talked to me with tears running down her cheeks because of the effect that had upon her life and upon her testimony as a believer. Now, whenever Peter here talks of the saved wife in our passage before us and the unsaved husband, he is referring here to the wife who has been converted after she has been married to her unsaved husband. That's what he's talking about here. And another reason why the Christian wife is to be submissive as well to her own husband is because such a character is something that is highly prized and highly valued by the Lord. Look at what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 3 and 4. Look at what he goes on to say to the wife. He says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Notice what the Word of God says there about a meek and a quiet spirit, something of great price, a great treasure, highly valued before the Lord. Here the Word of God is really saying to us that a meek and a submissive heart on the part of the Christian wife is far more important even than outward appearance. And that reminds you surely of the great truth that we read about in the book of 1 Samuel when it says there, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the heart, a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And people, the all-important matter is this, it is that our hearts are right before the Lord. That's the all-important matter here. And my, in the passage of Scripture here before us, we see how a meek and a quiet spirit is something that is vitally important to the Lord, highly prized and valued by the Lord. And in the context here of marriage, we see how this is one of the marks of a godly wife. Can I say to Christian wives in our meeting this morning, these words here of Peter regarding your role as a wife, they really highlight God's will and God's purpose for your life and marriage. That's really what they show forth to you who are married, to Christian wives in our service this morning. They highlight God's will and God's purpose for your life and marriage. And in this matter, please remember the words of verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, where it says that God's will is good. God's will is acceptable. And God's will is perfect. In other words, God's will, whatever that is, to husbands, to wives, to sons, to daughters, fathers, mothers, whatever, it is always for our good. It is always for our blessing. Yes, the devil and the world and the ungodly would seek to hinder you and I from doing the will of God and obeying the will of God and going true with God. But believer, always remember this, be it in the matter of the role of the wife in the home and the mother, indeed the husbands, as we'll look at later on in the will of the Lord, or sons or daughters, whatever, even in our workplaces, whatever. Remember this, dear believer, that the will of God is always good, perfect, and acceptable for our lives. In other words, God's will is always for our good. It's never not for our good. It's always for our blessing. And Christian wife, in our meeting this morning, whenever you seek to live by God's word in your marriage, in your home, I tell you this upon the authority of God's word, that God will richly bless you. And God will richly use you for His honor and for His glory. You think of the great blessing that Hannah was to our home, to our family, especially our son Samuel. Indeed, she could say of Samuel, "For this child I prayed." She was a praying mother and also a praying wife. Think of the great blessing that Eunice was to her home. She was a woman who loved the Word of God and the ways of God, so much so that she taught her child Timothy early in life the ways of God and the ways of salvation. And as a child, he was made wise unto salvation, no doubt through the testimony and the effect of his mother Eunice. Think also of the influence of Jochebed. She was a wife, a mother who feared the Lord in the book of Exodus. And by her testimony, by her life, the life of her son Moses was preserved. And the Bible tells us that Moses was one of the greatest of servants of God in the Old Testament history. No doubt the effect of Jochebed upon Moses had a great impact upon his life. You know, there's an old saying, and it says this, it says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And you know, there's a truth in that. And in the context of our message this morning, it really means that the influence of a godly wife is something that is far, far reaching, not only for the immediate terms, but even for years to come. Throughout history, yes, there are numerous examples of the influence of a godly wife, a godly mother, how that influence has been greatly blessed and used of God to lead husbands, children, and indeed many others to the Lord for salvation. Christian wife, Christian mother, in our meeting this morning, never underestimate the influence for good that you can have as a Christian, as a believer, in your home, in your marriage, in your community, further afield. I believe to be a Christian wife and mother is one of the highest callings in life that a woman can have. Indeed, by your prayers and by your godly influence in the home and in the family, yes, God can use you as an instrument in His hand, yes, for pointing family members, loved ones, friends to Christ. He can use you as an instrument in His hand of leading other believers on in the ways of God and in the things of Christ. Yes, God can richly bless you and use you for His honor and glory. You think of what is said in Proverbs 31, verse 10 about the virtuous woman. You can apply that to the virtuous wife, the virtuous mother, and it says this, "Her price is far above rubies." Something highly valued and treasured in the sight of the Lord. Oh, Christian wives and mothers in our meeting this morning, these lessons here from God's Word encourage you to go on living for Christ. Go on living for God in your home, in your marriage, in your community, and in this ungodly world. We encourage you to press on with God and live for Him. And God will bless you. God will use you. Next week, in the will of the Lord, our time is gone. We'll see what God's Word has to say to the Christian husband.